Blog Talk Radio.
Here, recruiting Animal here on July 6, 2016. Now, I want to pick up where I left off last week and talk a little more about being an American. Because last week, when I complained about people calling PhDs doctor, I got a lot of pushback from people who think they're Americans. They disagreed with me, right? But real Americans know that in a real culture of democracy, you don't create two classes of people, one that has to be constantly addressed by a title and the other who is only addressed by a mere first name. In the old movies, you'll see it all the time, the boss is always Mr. or Sir, but the subordinate is called by his or her first name. Like the boss is some kind of lord, instead of just another guy with the money to hire an employee. And, you know, maybe I have to remind you Americans that an employee is not a serf. This isn't Russia! And a boss is not a higher grade of human being. One recruiter actually did get in touch with me after last week's show, with some positive feedback. He told me he agreed with me. He said, look, a recruiter has to push back with clients and candidates, so you don't want to let them feel that they're more important than you. So you never call them doctor, and you never call them mister. You keep the balance of power equal by calling everyone by their first names, just like we do here on Jerry. Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Thank you, Jerry!
Thank you, Animal. Thank you.
How's my sound? I mean, I you know, they've got problems. Can you hear me?
No, you're all right. Yeah, you're all right.
Yeah? Okay.
I could hear you going over the same material from last week. That's what I heard.
That is a little sad.
Yeah, because those jerks didn't get it, okay? And I want to rub it in. I want to tell you something else about that, about social media etiquette. Last week, someone complained to me that I referred to my opposition in my intro by their first names. You know, he said, oh, they talked to you in a private conversation. Yeah. Dwayne Potato Chips put it on his Facebook page, and it went out to 500 people with open comments. You call that a private conversation? You're crazy if you think that. Not private at all.
I'm getting a weird feedback deal. What's going on with that? Somebody's got you on speakerphone, dude.
I think it's the 111 call. I'm gonna put it on hold, okay? Yeah, I think
it's not 214.
So it's still there.
No, let's
somebody's back. Somebody's,
you need to start pinpointing these people. Let's call them out on the internet.
Turn off your speakers. If you're going to call into the show, don't listen to it on the speakers at the same time. Don't be stupid, okay? You're wrecking the show. It hasn't even started yet.
Hey, I just found out that Maureen is presenting in both Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah, she's really big there.
Yeah, that's great. Well, yeah,
okay,
I mean, they're still using telephones there. I mean, I can see why she's got to move, leave this continent to be relevant,
you know,
which is cool.
Yeah,
it's very cool.
Don't take this opportunity. Don't give Maureen a backhanded compliment on this show. I think she's terrific, okay? Now,
she
let's
is
go to
terrific
our
at uncovering
Alan,
85-year-old dudes who are surprised
okay,
that you found
quiet.
Them.
Okay, be quiet. Enough already. Alex Moyle, you're here, the guest?
Yep, I'm here. I'm here. I'm ready.
Okay, now you said you wanted to sing Kung Fu Fighting. It's your favorite song. We'll do the beginning without the words. Are you ready?
Okay.
Just the beginning.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll count to three and we'll start. One, two, three. Oh, 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 oh! Come on. Come on. Oh, 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 oh! You stink. Man, I hope your kids never ask you.
Fighting.
Okay, I hope your kids never ask you to sing a song. Yeah, okay. Look, Alex Moyle, Alex_Moyle on Twitter. You know, a Moyle is someone who does ritual circumcisions. Is that some kind of tradition in your family?
Well, maybe in the past I taught tennis in camp once, which was where it was a Jewish camp.
Yeah, okay,
my,
you're not that funny.
Was,
I won't make any
Mohel.
Jokes. No. I was serious. That's what it is.
Not oil either, animal.
Can you explain to me what a virtual circumcision is, though? Like on the internet?
No, I don't know.
It doesn't work that way, dude.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Okay.
I don't
look,
either. That's what you
elevated,
said he did.
ElevatedRecruiting.com is his company, and he says he delivers inspirational sales and marketing training courses for recruiters, okay? And he's got sideburns. What's with those sideburns? Is that
still
why you're still singing Kung Fu? They're fashionable
they're
in England?
They're still fashionable in England. You know, that's why
I
still hang out here, because it's the only...
Yeah. You know what?
He looks good. What's the problem with an animal?
Nobody's got sideburns anymore over here.
You know, I got a buzz cut. Leave your house, dude. Leave your house. You'll see.
Let me just continue, okay? This guy has never had a job outside of recruiting. He went into recruiting right out of school, and I'm going to ask him, do you ever miss not having any practical experience in the business that your customers might be in?
Not really, because I'm in the business of helping them get their people. So, I mean, I did it in school. I studied accounting, and I specialized in helping people get accountants. So, but a lot of it depends on how you approach it. But I think I did okay.
Yeah. Okay. So you're saying right off the bat that a recruiter does not have to be a specialist in the field that he or she is recruiting in. They don't really have to know that much about it. Is that what your point of view is?
I'm saying when you start, you might not be, but I think you need to become it over time. So even though I wasn't an accountant, qualified accountant, I saw more finance departments than most CFOs
will
ever see.
Just talk faster. You know, like no mumbling, okay? I don't like the way you're talking. Hi, Jim, by the way.
You don't like
Jim Durbin. I don't like the way you're talking. It's boring, okay? You're better on your video.
And he's Canadian, so that's a big deal.
You know, he does a lot of videos, sort of impromptu videos, and I think they're pretty good. What kind of feedback do you get on those? Do people like them? Do they watch
them? I get a fair amount of feedback on them. My clients normally watch them before they meet me. So, but more often than not, I end up talking to my clients about fatherhood before I talk about training and how to help them be better.
Well, I noticed you don't enjoy being a father. You said once you have a kid, all you talk to your wife about is whose turn is it, and you have no time for yourself and really no time for your business either. And you come out, you're quite blunt about it on video. Not only that, you did a video on using sales techniques to find a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and you said you have to have realistic expectations, and that if you really had held out for Kylie Minogue, you would still be single. How does your wife feel when she hears that? That's what I was wondering. You know, you're my second best.
It's a bit like in recruiting. You know, there's A candidates and A companies, B candidates and B companies, and the Bs go together, and to each other they're an A. You know, so I'm not that hot. I'm pretty middle of the road, and my wife is middle of the road beautiful, and I'm in love with her, that's why we're a great match. So
okay.
It took a while to explain it.
Boy, that's quite the compliment.
Come on.
Boy, that would make her. That would make a good birthday card. You're middle of the road. Okay. I got to tell you something. If you improved your – If you improved your clothing, you would be a little in a higher league, okay? I mean, you're not a bad-looking person, but you wear really dull clothes in your videos. Now, maybe that's for your audience so they don't feel you're too self-important or something like that, okay? Now,
Very strategic.
You believe in selling, not telling. As a recruiter, one of the key skills – you say of an accomplished recruiter is the ability to uncover the motivations behind objections so you can overcome them. Right? Am I right about that?
That's right.
Okay. And,
that's right.
You quote Dale Carnegie. You say there's only one way to get anybody to do something, and that's by making them want to do it. Right? Now, Jerry says you can't make anybody want to do anything. Okay? So how do you do that?
Jerry's
when
wrong.
Someone's got an objection, when someone's,
wrong.
I don't care, you pick the example. It can be a candidate. It can be a client. You know, you're calling up a business development call. I want to do business with you. They say no. You come up with any excuse and tell us how you would handle it.
Well, I mean, let's say, for example, someone says that they don't want to use recruiters. You know, and I guess what you've got to do is, the first thing you've got to do is find out, do they have a need? Because if they're getting the staff that they want already through their own techniques, they don't have a need. So you're selling if you're trying to force a product on them. So you'd ask them, how do you feel about the quality of the candidates that you're able to recruit through your own methods? What's the most difficult role you've had to fill? And what you do is you find out how they feel about their current approach to recruiting. Too many recruiters just try and smash themselves through the door and say, I've got great candidates, and not enough actually find out what the client does first and why what they do maybe doesn't
Jim
work
Durbin.
As well as they want.
Jim Durbin. Still
yes,
there?
Sir.
Want to
yes.
do a role play with him? Want to do a role play with him?
Sure.
You're the client.
Sure.
He's calling you up for a business. Can you do a business development call with Jim Durbin?
I'll do a business development call with Jim Durbin. I've
okay.
been warned about
you're,
doing role play, so I know I'm going to get roasted.
Okay,
I'm a vice
so
president
you're
of digital
the recruiter.
Marketing at a software company.
Yeah, so
you
you're the recruiter, and you want to do business with with Jim, okay? Call him
okay.
up.
Do I know what Jim does? What his company does?
I'm the vice president of digital marketing at a software company.
Okay, great. Okay, that's cool. So I'll pick up the phone and I'll go ring, 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 ring.
Hello, this is Jim.
Hi, is that Jim?
Yeah.
Hi there. It's Alex Moyle here from Animal Recruiting, and the reason I'm calling today is I've got a candidate who's got really advanced skills in transferring from Flash to HTML5, and I know a lot of companies are doing that at the moment. How are you managing your transition from Flash to HTML5?
Well, we don't run into a lot of those anymore. We did that transition about 6 years ago, but I'm always
right,
interested
okay.
in people in HTML5 coding.
Okay. And what would you
so
typically
the guy,
get
the guy's
your
done old school Flash stage? Is it a man or a woman?
It's a man. It's a guy. It's called
Michael.
I didn't
want to make Animal mad about that. But so how good is he?
Well, I mean, a lot of it depends on what you look for. I mean, he's got 3 years' experience of working on these conversions. Now, obviously, you managed this a few years ago, so you may be a little bit ahead of the curve within HTML5. But he's been able to run projects himself, and he's delivered from the references I've taken, he's delivered.
Hey, hey,
I mean, when
hey,
you,
hey, can
when
I just
you,
interrupt
you
for a second? Jim,
pop
Jim,
over to my HR
Jim.
Guy and send a...
No, wait a sec, Jim.
I forgot to give him an objection.
Jim, where's the objection? That's your thing. You're overcoming this guy with...
I was
okay,
about
go
to
ahead.
I was like, that's a... And I've been nice about it, and I... you know, we always like to look at candidates. Why don't you shoot an email over to my HR guy and see if you can set up a contract and see if you guys can figure out terms. And if it's someone worth taking a look at, I'll be happy to do so.
Yeah, I'm happy to speak to the HR guys. But before I do that, what skill sets do you look for in someone that's got HTML5?
HTML5.
But in
I mean,
terms of what
I appreciate it. I get calls from recruiters
okay,
all day long.
I
appreciate it. But you know, just chat with the HR guy. If the guy's good, someone will glance through it, and we'll give you a call back.
Yeah, quick question for you, Jim. How well does your HR team understand the technical disciplines within your team? Because I guess I work with these types of candidates every day, and so I can work with the HR guy around around the recruitment process, but I guess HTML5 is a generic skill set, and I'm just really keen to know how you use it and what projects you've got going on with it before I speak to the HR guy.
That's not bad, Animal. I mean, if I have time, I would listen to that.
Okay, I thought you were just going to say, I don't use recruiters. Should we do another one where you just say, I don't use recruiters?
Well, that's just...
Or should we move on? Jerry, should I move on? Jerry, should I
move on? Move on.
It's good. Don't move on. But you didn't pick that man or woman. I mean, you know that's illegal to ask.
Yeah, I know. He was just provoking him, okay? And he figured...
I was just saying that for Animal.
Not in the UK,
I don't think the guest addressed it correctly.
The guest is in the U.K.
Yeah, if he's calling someone in the U.S., he has to understand the laws.
And what should he have said?
He should have said that I would have said that is not something that we discuss. I mean, we look at qualifications.
I'd have said it's a man. Come on.
Be sued.
How about this? Well, I can't tell you gender, but the name is Steven. I mean, why play games with this stuff? Come on, Kathy.
Jerry, I like that. I've never even thought of that. That's good.
Who's ever asked that question? Nobody ever in the history of recruiting. Is it a man or a woman?
I know.
You ever heard that question?
I know.
Okay.
But do the role playing some more. I like that. Do it with the objections now.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. Kathy Manning.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Jim Durbin. The great Jim Durbin. Okay, look.
The great VP.
Yeah. When,
Jim Durbin.
Yeah. When you're, Alex, are you still with us? Alex.
Yeah, I'm still with you. I'm here.
Alex.
Gosh.
Yeah, okay. Alex Moyle. Okay. So, this is from Allison Cruz, Sister Allison Cruz. When she wants to know if you're calling up a candidate, your cold call, do you cold call candidates? Do you recommend that, or do you plan on emails, or... How do you get in touch with people first time?
I'm a true believer that you can do a lot of things through email, but if you really want to get hold of someone, the best way to do it is to pick up the phone. So I'd definitely encourage too many recruiters hide behind a LinkedIn invite now. Or
what if you don't have their phone number there, homie?
Well, you just try and call them at work, you know, and you have a very short... So
and they say, who's calling? And you say, well, it's, when they say, what's it about? And you say, well, it's personal. And they're like, yeah, you're a recruiter later. Wham.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say that.
We need to stop pretending that we can get all these people on the phone.
Jerry,
I'm sick of it.
What are you putting that out there for?
Hey, God, I'm sick of it.
Use Spokio, and you will get a phone number. I guarantee you.
Not the best route.
Okay.
I to answer your question, you know, if someone was calling someone at work, I'd say, hi, how you doing? My name's Alex Moyle. I'm calling about an opportunity you may be interested in, but it may not be right for you, and I'd like to talk to you about it in a bit more detail. When would be a good time to talk after work? You know, the thing is, you know you're going to get an objection. Because you know you're going to get an objection. So what you really want to do is take the approach where you want to find out about what they want from their career first before you try and throw a job down their throat. Because every recruiter calls with a perfect job, where really no job is perfect until you know whether it's right for you.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Did you say to this person, I know you're not going to be interested? Is that what you said?
No, I said you might not be interested or you're maybe not interested. The thing is that I work on the principle that whoever gets the objection out first wins. You know, so if you know they're going to say, I'm not looking, you just say, look, I appreciate you probably not looking at the moment, but this is what I wanted to talk about.
Is Maureen here? Is Maureen here
I'm
now?
I'm here. I'm here.
Okay. Would you call that wimpy?
I would not say this is perhaps not the opportunity for you. I would never say that.
Why not?
I would not go negative in any way.
Okay. Hmm. Anybody else like his disarming technique? You know, I'm not going to push it. This might not be for you.
You could just turn it around and say, this may be a perfect position for you.
I like that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Got a job that's just fantastic for you.
This may be for you.
I hate that.
This may be for you.
It's amazing.
Canada, Alex.
Fantastic.
Alex.
Perfect fit.
Alex, look at me. Alex, look at me. Answer me. Alex.
I'm looking at you.
Okay, good. You also, you won't talk to the guy at work? You say, let's talk after work? You've got kids. What do you want to be working at night for?
Well, it depends whether he what he wants from his career, doesn't it? So, and if you might get 10 seconds. All you're wanting from that opening statement is to maybe get another 30 or 60 seconds to give him an outline of the role. Well, as soon as someone calls and goes, hi, I've got the perfect job for you, they know you're a recruiter and they know you're probably shit. Like,
uh-huh.
So what they want to do is deal with a consultative professional.
Okay, I was just wondering why you immediately switched the call to later on when you've already got him on the phone. That's what I was asking.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess I was taking a long-term approach. I mean, a lot of it depends on if you're happy to – I mean, often – you can take two routes. You can just assume it's the right time to court, like it is for a client, and you just take your chances. But sometimes, just by acknowledging it's not the right time, but there could be another time, candidates go, yeah, okay, well, I'll give you a call in a bit, especially when people work in a cube farm. Like if they're in a sales team, they're on the phone all day anyway, so you can have a conversation with them. But if you're calling a developer, you're calling someone in a finance team, you can hear a pin drop in those environments. Everyone can hear them talking.
You're going down the wrong line of thinking here. Okay. So you're telling me that you call somebody up and you want to do a full scale interview, the whole thing right there. That's ridiculous.
No, he didn't Jerry. I said that. He didn't say it.
No.
He said, we'll talk later.
Right. He's right. You're wrong.
Why don't you just ask if this is a good time to talk?
You always want to get to the second. Hold on a second, people. You always want to get to the second call with somebody. Don't
right.
you? So,
right, yeah.
So what the hell, animal?
Yeah, I don't
wait a minute.
Agree,
what
Jerry.
About?
Sometimes
I
wonder
what
why I'm even on this call.
What about the business?
Yeah, about me too. I wonder why you're here too.
You
what
don't
about
know anything what? About the recruiting process, dude, yet. You're on this global blog talk radio. It just doesn't make sense to me.
You know what? If you got a bird in the hand, you don't go for later.
It's not
you
a
got
bird
the guy
in the hand.
Willing to talk,
God.
Just like Kathy said.
You know.
Right. What about the business that if it's not a good time to talk, they wouldn't have answered the phone?
Oh, geez. Yeah. Why don't you just grill them on why they took your call?
Why
call
not?
Them an idiot for picking up the phone if they didn't have half an hour to get in depth about their career in front of all their friends with you right now.
Yeah, Jerry, you're going crazy, but Alex Moyle.
Going negative,
I'm not going crazy.
Alex,
sometimes the
negative.
Things said on this show are preposterous.
Jerry, you're always going to the down, on the down.
I know.
Let's not be negative.
You know, wait, there's a difference.
Let's not be afraid of the dark.
High value recruiting, low end hourly recruiting. Middle market, middle managers, and if you're calling people who are looking for a job, they're going to talk to you. There's a difference between like building it and pulling someone, and someone says, yeah, I want a job, let's talk. Well, let's at least acknowledge that and quit saying these absolutes.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What do you mean, Jim?
The first time you call an executive, you want to talk to him for a few minutes and then say, I'm going to send you something, and then I'm going to call you back in a week. You don't do that with a $15 an hour pipe fitter.
Why are you calling back in a week? Well, you want to recruit him right there and then. But let's – okay, this is enough of this.
If Jerry says that's not how you do it.
God.
Yeah, Jerry says
that. Hold on. You want to –
Hold it. Pipe fitters don't make $15 an hour. They make a lot more than
stupid.
That.
The second I said it, I knew I was wrong.
Hold on a second, though. You want to know if you're working with somebody and you're talking with somebody that really is interested, or if they just happen to sit there and let you blabber on the phone. If you say, how about 6 o'clock tonight? And they say, yeah. And you give them their number and they call you. They're showing you something. They're taking a step.
Yeah.
They're taking an action towards your common goal. Them answering the phone is not them taking a step. It's not doing anything. It's it. My boss is on vacation. I'll listen to this. So when you have them give you a call this evening, it's a whole different level of them involved in your process.
Do you let them do that? Do you let them call you, or do you call them?
Either way, it doesn't matter. I like it when they call me.
Yeah, I get that. But do you usually do that, give them your number and ask them to call you, or do you make a practice of doing that, or do you ask for their number?
Half the time, I guess. I don't know. Because some people will say, yeah, I'm not sure exactly when I'm picking my kids up or whatever. If it seems looser on their end, I'll say, well, here's my number. Give me a call.
Okay.
And if they say, yeah, I leave work at 4:30. Give me a buzz on my way home. Then I'm going to dial them at 4:30.
Okay.
But I'm not
going
to expect my whole process to take place the very second they happen to answer the phone at work.
Right. I'm just wondering if you have a calm down. I'm just wondering if you have a preference and what your thinking is on that subject.
No, Annie, no preference.
No.
Okay.
You always
it's just whatever flows.
Do you always
before
want to get their phone number, cell number, when you have them on the phone, though?
Yeah,
the word always has nothing to do with recruiting, Maureen.
No, Maureen asked a great question. Don't you want? Here's the thing, Alex Cruz, come in here. You Alex says building a relationship is like the first thing, building some rapport. Jerry, he doesn't even get the guy's phone number. The guy doesn't know him. He doesn't try to build a relationship on that first call. Call me later.
You're
I'll
a
put the
fool,
on
animal.
You
are
want
a
you
fool.
Call me.
You
That's
have
not
no
how you
idea
build
what
a relationship.
God. You know,
Jerry,
once again, I'm going to tell you.
We're trying to build a relationship here, Jerry. That's all.
Yeah. A relationship is multiple steps in a row.
That's right.
You break the ice, you get to know the person and say, hey, I realize you're probably being paid to do something right now. Let's talk later.
Okay.
And when they avoid you later on, then that's them telling you they really don't want in on it.
So
but when
like
they call you
the
later
period.
On or
right,
receive your call at the scheduled time, then you're starting
it.
A professional relationship with that
I
person.
I get it. So you
God
like them
animal.
To call you. So you would rather them call you than you call them and be avoided.
It doesn't matter who calls who. It depends on the situation.
I know. I understand. I'm just trying to get your technique. So you give them your number, but you also get their number, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes not. I don't know. I'm a fluid person. I'm a situationally aware recruiter.
Okay, because I never give them my number. I always get their number.
I'm going to quote from David Perry's book, which is in front of me. He says, for senior executives, your sole objective in making initial contact with a prospect on your long list is to introduce yourself and get them to agree for you to send them the position profile you carefully crafted to a confidential mail address. If they have a few minutes to talk, I say, I really don't want to speak with you now. I'd prefer to send you this information and to take a follow-up call from you after you've had 10 minutes of quiet, uninterupted time to review the material. That
okay,
is how
I'm
one of the world's greatest recruiters does it.
I'm going to disagree. The idea is to get a first kiss on that first call, if you can. Go as far as you can.
Yeah.
See
no.
how far she'll go with you.
Yeah,
yeah that's
no.
what I say.
Yeah,
the
David Perry doesn't take away. He doesn't take away right away.
It's not necessarily even a takeaway. It's a hey, here's where we are. Let me do this. Take a look at it. Let's connect in a few days.
Well, no, he's saying
animal is of the old school of hurry up and convince somebody to go take this job before they know what's going on.
No.
Yeah,
Perry's saying 10 minutes.
You're not tricking anybody into anything just because you're in a hurry.
No, I think I heard 10 minutes, didn't I, Jim?
In the future.
I didn't hear that. Okay.
He says,
okay,
give me
look,
a confidential
everybody.
Email address, a confidential address, and I'll mail it or email it. And when you've looked at it, looked at it, then we'll be able to talk to see if it's right for you.
Oh, I think you could lose a lot of people by doing that. You could lose
a lot of them where you were. A lot of it is on where you find the candidate. If you find them on a job board and they're actively looking, then you're gonna go right into it. You know, but you're still going to ask how convenient is it to talk. If it's a passive
that's
candidate
a good point.
That's never heard of you, well, you don't walk up to a girl in a nightclub and just say, do you want to get lucky right now and headbutt her and drag her off the dance floor? That's not going to work out well in the UK or the US. Like, you sort of start by maybe sort of saying hi and ask him whether her father stole the stars out of the sky and put them in her eyes. You know, you've got to try and warm up the conversation a bit before you start offering to buy her a drink and maybe holding her hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is why he didn't get to Kylie Minogue. Now he's telling us, okay, look, I have to do an ad. I got to do an ad, okay? Just give me a couple of minutes here. Give me 30 seconds. Now, hi, everybody. Look, do you know who Alex Moyle, do you know who my sponsor is by any chance?
I don't know who's your sponsor.
Alex.
Who is your sponsor? Can you tell me a bit more about them?
Okay, I will. In fact, I'm going to do a little bit of an introduction, okay? You know, we just had the Gay Pride here parade in Toronto this week, and it's really huge here. The Prime Minister marched in the parade. It's a very lively, happy party, and the theme is what I want to focus on, is inclusiveness. And that made me think of my sponsor, PC Recruiter. And you know why? Because some recruiting software focuses only on direct hire, and some recruiting software focuses on staffing, and some recruiting software, they just focus on executive search. But PC Recruiter, it's inclusive. It's for every kind of recruiting. And I want to put it this way. PC Recruiter loves everybody. It loves you. If you're a recruiter, it loves you. So check it out at PCRecruiter.com. By the way, Martin Snyder is the boss over there. He's a real man of the people. And if you want to talk to him, you can find him on my Facebook group any day of the week at RecruitingTricks.com. But go over there to PCRecruiter.com, see what's happening. Now, back to Alex. You said something to Jim Durbin a few minutes ago that you said, can you tell me what your hardest search was? You know what? Everybody,
yep.
Almost everybody who's been on this show says, don't use that. Don't let them give you their garbage search that they can never fill. That's not what you want. Are you disagreeing with that idea?
Yeah.
You want to take their hardest search?
Yeah, because I'm disagreeing with it, because I don't see it as the job I want to work. I see it as the skill set I've got to demonstrate that I can find to them to basically say, look, I'm credible. And so it all depends on being a specialist in your niche. So if someone says, I like JavaScript with this twist, you know, if what it gives you is a reason to call back. And basically you just call back and say, when you last called, you said this, and I found this. And because recruitment is really simple. Clients give you information, you do something with it, and then you give them what they ask for. They give you a problem, you do something, find something, and then you
give
them what
they ask
for.
Yeah, when you describe it like that, it's simple. Hey, look, Chad Balby is listening to the show, and he said, look, you can be a generalist and still be a successful recruiter. You disagree with that, right?
Yeah, I mean, you've either got to be hyper-local or hyper-specialized. I think generalist recruiters just end up chasing chickens around the globe, you know, and they don't get any momentum. They can't replay. They can't place any sourcing effort they do. They can't get paid for that more than once because those candidates are only good for that job, and you can't reuse them. Specialists can reuse candidates they generate, which means they can make two, maybe three placements a month, which gets them the big dollars. If you're being retained, then do spot stuff all you like. You can be a generalist in search, but if you're a contingent recruiter and you've got to be making two deals a month, you want to be working in a niche where you're going to be able to either have regular clients or regular skill sets.
Okay. Now, you know what? I feel bad that we sort of didn't get to the heart of the objections. What are the major objections that recruiters have to deal with? Is it okay if I didn't realize when you signed up that you're a trainer? I don't want you to give away all your secrets for free. So if there's something I ask you you don't want to talk about, you just tell me, okay?
I'll tell you anything you want, animal.
Okay, so these objections, is handling objections the hardest part of recruiting?
I'd say the calling people that you know aren't excited about calling you is the hardest thing about recruitment. Finding candidates is easy, filling jobs is easy. The hardest bit is picking up the phone to people that you know do not want to talk to you. And once you've had three or four calls with someone and you've begun a relationship, I think it fundamentally changes, but the hardest bit about starting a career in recruitment is being able to pick up the phone and call people that don't know you. And the art of recruitment is really how you make those calls a little bit warmer. And there's some tricks that you can do to make them warmer. And also just how you change your mindset around that. And that's the key. Because when you've been doing the job a year, you start knowing people. People know you, and life becomes easier.
Okay, but these things you told us. You want to tell us about them? How do you warm up a call? I mean, go ahead.
The first thing you've got to do is have a really strong purpose for the call, which is why having a specialism and being aware of what goes on in that client is important, because you've got to know that why you're calling, how that could be beneficial to the client. Most recruiters I sit with them and I go, why are you calling? And they go, I need to speak to them. And I go, what are they going to get from your call? And they go, nothing.
I don't know what they're going to get. And I said, well, if you don't know what they're going to get, the client's never going to work it out. So you've got to think about...
Is that
about,
a comedy routine? I don't understand what you're saying. First of all, let me just tell you something. At least in North America, there's no such word as specialism, although I like it, and I think I might start using it instead of specialty, okay? Secondly,
okay.
What do you mean? You're calling up, and of course you know why you're calling. You're either looking to get a job, and it sounds like your major form of business development is marketing a specific candidate. Is that true? Because that's what you did with Jim. Is that right?
Yeah. So my main form is taking a candidate to market. And the reason being is that first call is not a sales call. You know, like if you just want to, I mean, it may be animal, this is the way you approach it. You pick up the phone and you just go, hi, have you got any jobs? And you do 50 of those a day. And statistically, every no will take you closer to a yes. I see that first call as the initiation of a relationship. So all I'm after is a nugget of knowledge that helps me sound more credible next time I call. And so but the problem is nine out of 10 recruiters just call for jobs. Well, what I'm looking to do is find knowledge because I can call and use that knowledge the next time to demonstrate I'm different than everybody else.
Okay, but what if the person says, I don't want to use a recruiter? What do you say?
Okay, that's fine. I'm happy if you don't want to use a recruiter. You obviously got a good process at the moment. Just out of interest, what roles have you struggled to fill yourself?
I told you I don't want to use a recruiter. What are you asking me questions for?
Well, because the reason I'm asking you that is because sometimes people say they don't use recruiters, but then they struggle to find people, and I'm just interested into what your contingency plan is if you don't find the people that you want.
Yeah, here's my plan. Don't waste my time, okay? So, do you actually think, is that true that someone says, I don't want to use a recruiter, and by asking them these questions, you can get them to answer you?
Well, some will, yeah. Yeah, some won't. You know, and the thing is with business development is that you're not going to get. I'd probably say, of 10 calls you're going to make, and you get that objection, probably 6 you're going to get nowhere. 3 you're going to get a little bit of a conversation with maybe 1 or 2 nuggets of information, and 1 you'll probably engage in a full conversation, which is why it's hard. A lot of it, Animal, also depends on whether they what you know about their business. If you know they're a software development company, you know they're going to be finding it hard to find certain skill sets, which is, again, where being a specialist would help.
Okay, and I was trying to give you Allison Cruz's question a few minutes ago, and I thought, you know, we had an interesting conversation, but I didn't get to ask you this question. When you're calling up somebody for the first time, you call somebody, and the candidate, rather, and say, I'm not looking. I'm not interested. Will you ask for a referral? Or maybe the person's not 100% suitable, the money's too low, it's not right. Will you ask for a referral the first time you speak to somebody, yes or no?
You know what? A lot of it would depend on the conversation. If it was a get lost, I probably wouldn't. If we'd had a conversation which was maybe 4, 5, 10 minutes long, I might ask for a referral or a recommendation. Because often, if you work in depending on the market you work in, if I work in a tight geographic area or a niche discipline, I might ask people who they know above them or below them as well. But if I've had a 5, 10 minute call, I would ask. I'm not expecting to get anything from it, but I would ask, and occasionally you do.
Yeah, okay, but why not ask after a 1 minute call? You got nothing to lose.
Because if you're not getting 30 seconds, you're you know what? Maybe I've been self-defeated, but I just don't. I've never had any success with it, and I'm figuring if I've only had a 1 minute call, I'm probably trying to. If I've got one more question to ask, like the Columbo question, I'm going to ask a question about what their ideal job would be, not who they know that would be interested, because if they've only given me a minute, they're not going to want to sic me on their friends, that's just not what they're going to do.
What's that, Jerry? Jerry said something.
No, it's just my typical sigh.
Well, what does that mean, Jerry?
What did you say, Jerry?
Did you read that off a teleprompter, Jerry?
It's just, once again, I'm reminded that Animal doesn't operate with any sense of feel and situational awareness when he's recruiting. Some people, you can tell when you're talking to them, they think you're a dick.
Yeah.
And they're not going to give you a referral. So why
I
ask?
I gotta tell you.
Why be the recruiter that does exactly what they hate us to do? Be aware of the fact that they don't like you. You've called the wrong guy today. Hey, good luck, man. Take it easy. That's it.
What about like this? I know you hate me. I have nothing to lose, and I'm not getting off this phone. I know you know somebody. Don't jerk my
name,
okay? I'm staying here.
I'm staying here.
Do you give me somebody? You want to get rid of me? Give me a name.
Thanks, Pete Lefkowitz. Welcome to 1989.
Were you the door-to-door recruiter where you just put your foot in the door and go,
yeah, there you go.
The name of your neighbor.
Dump an ashtray on their carpet and say, I brought a vacuum cleaner.
Hey, Alex. Alex.
Yeah.
You said you would ask him for the people above him and below him. What? I don't understand what you meant by that.
Yeah, because often, like, especially when someone's maybe not interested themselves, they might not know people at the same level, but they might know who their old boss was, or they might know of someone that's in their team that might not be looking, or might be looking for someone that they've worked from in the past. So often with referrals, if you ask for a direct, exact replica, they're like, well, you didn't like me, now you want one of my friends. Where if you ask above or below, you often open their mind.
How do you do that? How do you do that? What words are you using? Give us the words.
So I go, I appreciate you're not looking, but one of the other opportunities I've got at the moment is probably a bit more junior than for someone at your level. And what I'm looking for is A, B, and C. And so who do you know that's the best A, B, and C person in an organization that you've worked in the past?
I like that. Yeah, I like that. Instead of calling with a job and the guy says no and you say, well, who do you know, like happens 20 times a day or a week, refer for a different role. I like it.
Yeah. And the other thing is that what you don't – the other way to get referrals, and I did the role play again, is I'd go, look, Jerry, I know you're not looking at the moment, but do you know anyone else that's, like, fed up with their commute to work? Or do you know anyone else that's just been passed over for a pay rise that's frustrated with their job? Because most people, when they're in the pub or the bar at the weekend, don't tell their friends they're looking for a job, but they complain about their boss, they complain about their salary, the lack of opportunity. And so you ask about people that are unhappy with reasons that would make them want to leave. And that often gets a much greater return on referrals.
Yeah, but Alex, you don't want somebody – you don't care if the person knows the private business or thoughts – of the people in his or her profession. You just want names. You don't want people who are dissatisfied. You want to talk to anybody. So if you go into that song and dance about the commute and the salary, and that's way too much. You just want a name.
Hold on, Animal. Alex, can I answer this for you? Animal,
yeah, go ahead.
A lot of times when the recruiter asks the candidate, who do you know, the candidate or the person they're talking to thinks that they're supposed to come up with somebody that's recently said, I want a new job, okay? They can't think of anybody. So if you ask more specific questions to help compartmentalize the person, hey, who do you know that's driving an extra long way to work? Well, they will know somebody. Who do you know who always has to pick up their kids after work, but it seems like they're working on projects till 7 o'clock and they're frustrated with it? Could be anything. Help pinpoint a face for them. Pull a face out of their crowd of nobody knows anybody.
Theater of the mind. I like that. Who do you know I could pick off so you can?
That'll be $275, Kat.
Okay, I gotta do another ad.
You got it, Jerry.
I gotta do another ad, please. I just need 15 seconds. Look, everybody, PC Recruiter handles email marketing, so you can build lists and send hundreds or thousands of emails and manage the resulting activity like opt-in or opt-out requests with ease. And that includes Canadian opt-in rules. If you use Microsoft Outlook, PC Recruiter appears directly in your Outlook screen. No more switching between applications 100 times a day. No more of that. No ATS or recruiting software has more or better choices for email, text messaging, and social media than PC Recruiter. If you want to check it out, I want you to go to PCRecruiter.com. PCRecruiter.com. Thank you. You know what, Alex, I've got another question from Allison Cruz. She gave it to me just before the show. She says she wants you to tell us if this is spam. when on Twitter you get so-and-so's daily is out with your name and a few others. You know that? You know,
yeah.
The Alex Moyle daily is out with, you know, articles from Animal, Jerry, Maureen, Kathy. Is that spam?
Yeah, no, I think it is spam, because when they tag you in something, and the first few times I click on it and go, ooh, they found one of my blogs, and there'd be nothing of me there, and that's spam, you know, because they're tagging me in something where they're inferring that I'm getting some love.
Okay,
half of Twitter is
you...
spam anyway. I mean, what is that even, what kind of question is that?
Okay, it's from Allison. She's got another one.
Sorry,
what
Allison, it's
they...
all spam. Shut Twitter off. It's crap.
Okay, What about Alex when it says my top influencers this week are Alex Moyle, Jerry Albright, Animal? Is that spam?
Well, it depends whether what they do are connected with what I do. So if it came from you, that wouldn't be spam, because you're in the recruitment industry and you've obviously thought about it. If you're sort of a nurse in the Philippines,
you know, Alex, I got to tell you, those things are all
spam.
Purely
automated.
They are garbage. They are garbage. Jim, you agree? They're trash.
Is that stuff still even on? Top influencers is still on somewhere?
Yeah. I get it all the time. Sometimes. Okay. Anybody got a question for Alex? He likes to talk. Anybody got a question for him? We got 15 minutes.
What are the average fees in the UK? I want to know about the differences between here and there.
So the UK, the average fees, the commodity price is about 15%. But if you're on a preferred supplier list, I don't know what you call it in the US, then you're probably you're starting to look at about 13%, 14%. Mm. If you're open market, you're probably looking at, if you're open market and shit, you'll be getting the same as a PSL provider. If you're open market and good, you're probably getting around about 20%. And a good contract recruiter will be getting early to mid-20s, depending on the discipline. IT is generally lower fees than, say, finance or marketing.
So the average free-range fee is less than 20%, probably?
Yeah, normally it's about 19. I mean, if you go to, like, the professional bodies in the UK, they'll say it's gone down every year for the last 5 years, so it's about 16.5 at the moment, but they don't really separate between open market and PSL. So
I'm gonna go broke over there.
Yeah, that's low.
Okay,
yeah,
thanks for nobody ever asks that, and I just wondered.
Good question.
You know what, Alex, I remember now. Yeah. You said if you're calling up even someone who's an established client already, and the manager says to you, the hiring manager, look, with this Brexit stuff, I'm not going to hire anybody. You're telling your recruiters to challenge those guys and talk them out of that attitude. Am I right about that?
You know, I'm not telling them to challenge them. What I'm trying to do is get them to understand why the client thinks that way. Really good recruiters are involved not in whether a client's got a vacancy, because that's sort of like that's like recruitment zombies. They're just hanging around under buildings just waiting for vacancies to drop out. What you want to do is understand what's going to cause them to hire, and that will typically come from changes in strategy. So when the client says, we're not hiring, you've got to understand why and what's going to make that change. Equally, in every tough market, you know, there's going to be business-critical roles that will recruit. And you know from the recession that happened 5-6 years ago, you know, there were still recruiters that did really well. It was the lazy ones that just sort of fed off the heat of the large clients that ended up sort of starving and dying.
And in your experience, what are the business critical roles usually?
Well, a lot of it depends by organization, but if there's a role in an organization where there's only one person doing it, then and it's a technical role, so it might be a staff accountant, it might be the guy that looks after the website. You know, that role has to be replaced because you're not going to outsource it. If you've got 10 people doing one role, like in accounts payable or something, then one person leaves, you just make everyone work a bit harder. So, that's the whole point. You've got to ask your question what the business critical roles are that they'd have to replace, irrespective of what state the economy's in.
Okay, so you call somebody and he says, just like I said, with this Brexit, I'm not hiring anybody. I'm putting on a hiring freeze. What's your next? What do you say next?
I go, great, I understand that. Other people are doing that as well.
What is it you're thinking about whilst you go on hiring freeze? What is it, or what is it you're changing about? What is it you're doing with your strategy that's making you want to put a hiring freeze on?
What?
Because you want to understand why they want to put a hiring freeze on. So what issues do they see that make them feel like they want to hire?
Alex, wake up! Our market's evaporated. Yeah.
Okay, then move on, Animal. I mean, God, man.
So, Animal. So, what you're telling me is that you're going to be closing down. You're closing down. Is that right? Is that why you've got a house?
No, we're going to do some penny pinching to make sure we can see our way through the hard times, Alex.
Yeah, no, I understand that, and I guess the challenge is, Bob, or Animal, that most businesses at the moment aren't just shutting everything down. What they're doing is still thinking about projects that are on the go. That are going to continue to support sales growth, even though Brexit may well happen. So what projects do you have on the go at the moment that are going to help you continue to grow sales?
Okay, so Jerry, let me ask you something. You see, I listened to his video. He was a little more aggressive than he is now, but he will wrestle with someone. When someone says no, that's a sign for him, let's fight. Let's wrestle. You're saying
great,
don't
okay,
do that.
Cool.
Am I right, Jerry?
I've been taking no for an answer now for about 25 years, and it seems to be working for me.
It works.
You know, I don't know what else to tell you.
No, just
some
leave
people aren't hiring. What are you going to badger the guy into telling you who he might hire in a year and a half? I mean, come on, people.
Animal's misrepresenting me to an extent. You know,
welcome to the Animal
when
Show.
When they say no, I want to find out why. You know, because
sure.
for me as a recruiter, you want to understand. Why are they feeling that way? What is it that's making them feel that way? Because change is good for recruiters, you know, good and bad. You know, and so if that company's got that problem, then other companies will have that problem, and that makes your next call better. Equally, most companies have a plan to win, and when they have a plan to win, they're going to need people to help execute that plan.
A lot of times, at least here in the States, companies will bring in contract resources to tackle those projects when they're not able to hire anybody, and being able to provide contract resources is really a key component of success as we move forward as an industry here in Los Estados Unidos.
Okay. Anybody else want to take him on this one about wrestling with the clients? Because that's what he's doing.
I would take a softer approach and keep the door open and call him in a couple of months. I mean, I would not pin him against the wall.
Jim? Yeah. Jim Durbin? Still there?
The average salesperson who's successful has to make at least 6 contacts, sometimes as many as 10.
Mm-hmm.
Most salespeople who fail stop at 1 or 2. It's all the way you leave that.
Yep.
You force someone to dump you at the beginning. The goal is to get them to remember your name. I think Jerry also sells in an industry where personal reputation matters a lot more. I'm not sure that would work in the finance world or in the startup world. They're just busy. They're not going to talk to you. But if I were hiring, you know, mechanical engineers, I don't want some jerk. There's plenty of jerks out there. So Jerry's like, oh, that's a decent guy. Maybe I'll call him if I ever need him.
Yeah. No. I mean, like, Alex. What about Alex? Alex argues with the guy. Alex won't admit that he's arguing, but the guy says, I'm not hiring. Why not? You better prove it to me.
It's a big market.
You're misrepresenting me. If I hand anyone on anything, it's trying to understand why they're making the decision they're making them. Because I can't make someone recruit. I agree with Jim and Jerry is that you need a number of calls. They may not have a job today, but they might do in the future. And so what I want is knowledge that helps me the next time I call back to demonstrate I'm not like every other jerk recruiter out there. And I can remember, I've asked them a good question, or I remember what they say, and I call back with something that's relevant. So if I pin anyone on anything, it's about, I just want to understand why they're making that decision. Whether they're recruiting or not, I don't really mind, because it's not about that one call. It's about the process of building that relationship.
But they have no obligation to tell you why. If you're smooth about it, though, you can...
I mean, you can have conversations with people. You just got to be smooth.
Yeah, this is what we do.
And the more badgery and cornery you sound, the less they're going to tell you anything.
One of the reasons why the UK recruitment business is the rates are going down and down and down is because there's a lot of recruiters that approach recruitment like the animal. And actually, there's no future in that. And the thing is with that, because when you act like that, you make people hate recruiters. And when they hate recruiters, you make a market for people want to buy tech solutions that mean they never have to use recruiters. If recruiters were like doctors and they delivered a good service, you know, and people trusted them and advised them, the incentive to use tech to replace recruiters would not be the case. But the reality is,
yeah, you know what?
I like
all
that.
That's
a bunch of crap. That's not true at all. They use that because they don't have a choice.
I think
they
a different way to look
own.
At that is to recognize that there are millions of recruiters out here. And the less you sound like all of them, the better your chances are for now or in the future.
The last 2 months I was inside taking these calls. I went to work at a company where I was, quote, director of recruiting. At least that's what it showed on my LinkedIn profile. So I got to hear a lot of those. And the problem is most people are just, they have no interest. But I knew a good call on it when, I mean, it was simple. I've got this. These are the roles you're looking for. Call me if there's a need. I didn't answer it, but I knew which ones I'd pay attention to and wouldn't in the future.
Yeah.
It's very clear. Are they, you know, were they reading a pitch they'd never done before? That was an easy one.
Hey, Jim, what if they sent you, followed up with sending you a blind resume of, you know, the perfect hard-to-find candidate?
For the roles I was looking for, I ignored that. But I did have a recruiter who contacted me. I told them we didn't use recruiters because I was the recruiter. And this kid did exactly what he was supposed to, ended up following up with the CEO. It turns out his dad was the first client the CEO had ever used. He ended up getting a chance of sending some resumes in. Didn't bother me that he went around me, but I respected what he was doing at least. So
yeah,
the
Jim,
idea that
okay.
Jim,
but I know you guys don't.
I just wasn't giving him a shot, but if they'd asked me to, I knew which ones I was going to talk to.
So Jim,
okay, but here's my point about
then.
Alex. Alex talks to people. He doesn't take no for an answer. He does not take no for an answer. That's my point. He really tries to pump people for information after they say no. Am I right, Alex?
Yeah, that's right. You got to find
nothing wrong with that.
If you get
it's a big market.
If you get a nugget of knowledge, that helps you the next time. You know, and that's what this is all about. It's about you only build credibility and confidence with a client if you can show that you understand something about their business and you're not just like a CV sending machine.
Okay.
But in the end, you are taking no for an answer. You're not changing somebody's hiring process. So you are taking
no
for an answer. So it's really, how do you take no and how do you leave it?
Okay.
And what do you learn and how do you leave it?
Yeah. Alex's point is not to take no for an answer. He believes that an experienced, accomplished recruiter knows how to handle rejections and says to himself, we didn't get to this, but he says, why doesn't this person realize what I'm offering him is really good? What do I have to do to educate him more? Am I right about that, Alex?
Yeah. I mean, you want to build a relationship over time, and there's some people that you'll never work with, you know, and then you just jog on down the road. But you've got to think about
okay.
it. Okay,
you know what? Enough of this. I wanted the last thing. The time's up, but I want to quote Alex. He says, social media is a poor substitute for being on the phone or face-to-face. He says, a face-to-face will always trump a phone call, and a phone call will always trump an email, and an email will always trump a blog, and a blog trumps a tweet. Social media, a poor substitute for a phone call. Are those your parting words, Alex?
I'd stand by that. That's a great way to finish, Animal.
Uh-huh. Anybody else want to say something? Jerry, is there an after show?
Yes.
Okay.
I was going to say no and have you convince me to have one. But then I thought, why go through all that? Because there's going to be one anyway.
Alex Moyle, you should come back. You're a fun guest. I
Thanks,
like
Alex.
You, okay?
Yeah,
Alex
enjoyed
Moyle,
it.
I might have to use this after show to put in my 2 weeks' notice.
What are you looking at, Jerry? I know we've talked in the past about some of the things that you enjoy. What do you think your next step in your career should be?
I think I just need to find myself right now. I'm struggling as a recruiting artist. I need a new muse. I think.
What did you major your last two jobs?
Are you struggling with your 15th album?
Yeah, you know it.
I have a comment to make, just really quick.
Oh, hey, Alex, also, though, now is the part of the show where we actually critique your performance. So
okay.
I have to respectfully ask you to wrap up your part of the call. Thanks for calling in. Love talking to you. Sounds like you're a great guy.
You can listen to it.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Later. Okay, what were you saying, Jim? Somebody was saying something.
I don't know. It was Marine.
No, it's me, Kathy.
Okay.
I think that Animal was, sometimes I forget words. Hold on. He's contradicting himself because he said at the beginning of the show that we should call everyone by their first name, and then he was talking about, quote, the prime minister, unquote, in marching in the gay pride parade, and why didn't he just call him Justin? Prime minister.
Well,
right. Nice.
All right,
nice.
I had to get it out.
Well,
it was
well done.
Thanks, Kathy.
Sorry, I had to get it out.
I'm once again left sitting here wondering, does Animal really recruit and do business development the way that he suggests that he might on the show? I mean, just cornering people and badgering people and proving them wrong and winning and I getting over on you and I you lose, I win. Now give it to me.
No, I don't think he does.
What's the value of that as a general theme, then, if people are listening to this show? Maybe there's somebody that actually listens to this for maybe the tips and tricks that they might pick up. I'm afraid that they're getting the wrong idea of what true recruiting at a high level, a successful level, really is. And it's not cornering somebody or proving them wrong or getting them to trip up and admit that, well, they did hire somebody with an agency one time. It's none of that. And it just freaks me out. I'm like, wow, I don't understand.
I think it makes for good conversation, and, you know, it makes it fodder.
Yeah, but after a while, it kind of loses its fun.
Well, there are always new listeners.
Are there?
Yes, there are.
So, Jim, did you have fun on the inside for a while? Was it interesting?
It was. Really, really interesting because sometimes you lose perspective and you forget what it's like to be on the inside. And I had the chance to work with a lot of candidates and kind of get their feel in a way. It's totally different because I'm not pushing them in. So that was it was good. I think it makes me a lot better. Plus, you have to work so hard when you work 8 to 5. You know, and you can't stop and work later. So
yeah, the word 8 is what kills me. I don't mind working till 5, but 8?
You're an early riser, Jerry. Who are you kidding?
You know, I'm kind of enjoying the summer more this year. I'm staying up real late, watching movies with the family.
Like it's fun. 7:30?
No, I think today I got up at 9.
Nothing, how late you watch the movie.
Don't tell anybody.
I've been up before sunrise.
You know, most of the time I can't sleep in if I wanted to, but lately the last couple of weeks we've been staying up real late, you know, summertime and stuff. So that's cool. Well, speaking of that, it's nap time.
Next week, Jim, I want to hear about how you can make $50,000 getting people to talk about their salaries.
Nice.
You talk to somebody really frustrated. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked at how much consulting is available for basic recruiting stuff. I don't even do the advanced stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. People don't ask basic questions that become second nature. My offers are never turned down. Well, that's not a good sign, people. That means that you're not talking to people who get multiple offers in this market. Or how do you negotiate salary correctly?
Are you mentioning a very famous trainer?
No.
Okay, we just had a discussion about that 2 days ago about a guy says that he never has offers turned down, ever.
That's a terrible, that's a bad, no, I'm talking
that's
about somebody
horrible.
Else entirely.
It's horrible.
Yeah. And this market, it's ridiculous.
it is.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Flat out ridiculous, yeah.
That's
well,
that'll
make a good subject. Why don't we, there's probably, I know there's a guest scheduled, but.
Give me about 2 years so I can wipe the client list off. Nobody thinks I'm talking about them. That's half the problem.
Yeah, that's probably true.
They always think it doesn't matter if you say it. They think you're talking about them, but it's make up the craziest story in the world. But we ought to talk about Glassdoor. I want to hear Jerry's opinions on Glassdoor in the shows one time. We would get a lot of angry people talking about it.
Well, what's the story on it?
So Glassdoor is like a Yelp for the company.
Yeah.
But then think, so you have all these people coming to the doors, they review interviews or salaries.
Mm-hmm.
It's either really good or really bad. So it's people furious because they don't understand if they were good or bad, or it's indicative of something bad at the company, or it's, oh, this is the greatest place ever, my managers are fantastic.
Yep.
But if you don't pay for a glass door, you can't hide reviews, but you can make sure your top ones are of that. But when you pay, it also makes you look bigger, so people read all the reviews. So it's an absolute, it's scam is not the right word, but it's pretty shady. But their traffic is huge. So how do you escape it? So all these companies get somebody one bad thing written about you, and then you got
the real question is
enormous amounts of money.
What is going to replace LinkedIn? And who's going to start it? And why is it not us?
Yeah,
we're not coders, and
yeah.
People aren't as dumb about giving their information as they used to be.
Right.
All right, well, so goes that.
Facial recognition technology will make all this mute in just a few years. I still say less than 2 years. Some people say 10, but...
Really?
You'll have every name and every number, but they're only going to call people they know. So I'm not worried about good recruiters.
My husband represented the guy who invented facial recognition.
Who's that?
Did you really?
Yeah, my husband did. I don't want to disclose anything, but yeah, he did.
Nice.
And, that's everything like when you go onto Facebook and it automatically tags people and things like that. I mean, he invented
it.
Yeah,
crazy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So someone snaps a company photo, and the next thing you know, you've got a list of 15 names. That's the future.
Yep.
Your kids. You take pictures of your kids and post them, and 25 years from now, we know exactly who they are and their names are because your mom and dad posted on there.
When are they going to pull that stuff back? Are they going to be
never.
Able to pull it back?
No, never.
No. No. It becomes ubiquitous.
We've all been assimilated, Maureen.
I know, it's really...
Are we living in the Matrix?
It's possible.
Perhaps.
That would be awesome, though, if it were true.
There's some pretty weird stuff. But, I mean, it's on the way. It's there. And you can do
it's
it
here.
All. It's here.
Hey, just don't believe those people that say that recruiters are going to lose their jobs. We're going to be the last people to lose our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
The last. We'll be sorting
somebody
out the last people pack their boxes
ago.
Of stuff and go.
I think it was you, Jim. Something about calling people. Somebody said something about calling people.
Well, that's the thing. Someone has to answer. So when I was the social media headhunter, my in-mail, email, phone call rate was like 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody returns my call. When I was inside as a director of recruiting,
mm-hmm.
Granted, I was working on positions that were a little lower sometimes, but
yeah.
Man, it plummeted to 20%. Nothing changed.
Really?
My
that?
Titles and the
Why
job.
Is that?
Part of it's just I was working on it's the lower level jobs kind of killed it as well. But when I call, I'm that third party expert. I'm the social and digital marketing headhunter. People are like, well, at least I'll take a phone call. And after two or three, so in-mail, email, phone call, they all respond. It's not like I'm doing 60 a day or anything like that, but I probably do 50, 60 a week blind introductions to people. They all say hello.
I want to
Jim, I just
writing.
Recognized that you and I weren't connected on LinkedIn, so I sent you an invitation, and it asked, how did we know each other? I said, we went to high school together. So if anybody asks you, we went to WCHS.
we went to,
that's
we went
for
to
Warsaw
high
Community High School.
No, we went to different high schools together. I got that.
Man, LinkedIn is just really just starting to just blow. I mean, it did really. And I only say that as an observer. I mean, I don't really even care. Frankly, I think it's hilarious that most recruiters spend their time playing wishbone over the new resumes and profiles there every day. It's kind of like flypaper for recruiters.
That's crazy,
frankly.
Yeah. I actually make a lot more money on Facebook and Indeed.
Mm.
Anything under six figures, I write something on Indeed and I get the people I want. On Facebook,
yeah, I use that.
People
I love
talk
Indeed.
To me.
Indeed is outpacing,
I don't use any of it.
Indeed.
Yeah, but Jim, those on Indeed, they're actively looking. So,
yeah,
you know, that may be the success of that, but I love it.
Well, you can run ads on Indeed and only pay, like, I don't know, 10 cents a click and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, my monthly Indeed bill, because I don't even normally pay attention to it, is like $60 or $93.
They're built on the long tail. Although,
yeah, that's
full
pretty
disclosure,
cool.
I have been interviewing with Indeed, so it's possible that I become a shill very quickly.
Did you talk to Levy about that? Everybody was working
not
there,
really.
Right?
Yeah, he was there for a bit.
Wasn't Derek there?
So, Jim, when you call and leave a message, how do you leave a message? What do you say on your message?
Cell phones. I either text or I call their cell phone after I've emailed or found them. So I'll start off with a LinkedIn email that's kind of very short and like 100 characters, saying, hey, I'm the guy you want to talk to. Very rarely I'll put extra information. If they don't respond, I'll send a longer one that has more detail. And then I'll follow that up at the same time with an email that I've pulled, one of their likely addresses. I can pull profit, and I put it in the Gmail, or I send stuff over. And remember, too, my field, everybody's on there, so I don't have to they're in one of those areas. They're not hiding in digital marketing. And it's an email, and then I call. I tell them I'm calling. I can usually pull a cell phone of some kind, and I call after 4 o'clock to the handful of people that I haven't heard from. And everybody, I mean, because they don't know anybody who's good in this field. There's just not a lot of good digital marketers. So my problem is I need to do a better job qualifying my sales instead of working on these impossible-to-find jobs.
Yeah,
it's
I don't
fun,
like that.
But, boy, and they're one-offs. You know, Jerry, you've got an industry that you build reputation with. I get one off from a company, and they won't need me for 5 more years unless somebody moves. So it's a brutal sales cycle.
Placing consultants and contractors is the way to go.
Yeah, but there are no marketing consultants and contractors that are really.
Yeah, then I'd get out of it.
From social to digital.
With contracting, okay, when I'm working with a customer that needs a contractor, they don't have someone on the inside trying to make sure that they don't have to pay my fee because they're going to find the person. All contractors come from an outside agency.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't order a pizza and then start busting my ass to bake a pizza as fast as I could. And then when I got there, they said, I already got one. Sorry, man, I got
original?
One.
Original? Did you steal that? If I quote you, is that going to come from some country song, or is that from you originally?
No, that's me.
Okay.
I use the pizza
that
analogy a lot because we.
That's a great one.
That's
a great one.
Well, I mean, that's what happens with a lot of this contingency recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
They'll reluctantly agree that, well, if you had somebody that did this and this, well, yeah, we'd.
Yeah, maybe.
We'd have to take a good look at them. Meanwhile, they are busting their ass to find somebody.
For perm search, for direct hire.
Yeah, I hate that.
Do you guys give references?
What do you mean?
I have a buddy of mine who's trained kind of the old MRI school, and he said when we first did it, he goes, I don't give references anymore. I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, it's totally worthless. And if they ask, you say, look, in 2 months, you're going to have your person working for them. Can I call you in 2 months and one day for the next job? He's just full on.
I don't know.
You need to check my last 3 clients to get hired.
Hey, what is that?
That's annoying.
I don't know. Somebody's driving.
Is it just the 4 of us on?
crazy.
No, that was weird. Somebody else.
I don't know.
Do you get reference calls for a contract, or you know everybody? You've been working for years.
That's kind of a mischaracterization. It's still a huge ass marketplace here. So we don't know everybody. A lot of consultants.
Marine can help you.
Yeah, they may have worked on a project with me 5 or 10 years ago or what have you, but references, they're kind of lame. You got to go with your ability to interview the person and what you're talking about while you're sitting face to face with them, is what my customers hear from me.
Right.
Anybody can come up with somebody who says, yeah. You're not going to get a real reference anyway. All you hear is, yes, he worked here.
So I was thinking about when from the selling side, when they want references from the selling side.
You mean like references for me as an agency?
Yeah. Right.
I've never, no, I don't know. I'd never use that. I would, but.
People don't, I guess in contracts it's a little different, but. It's been a long time since I've done that aspect of it. I've done contracts.
The larger companies, and including Deloitte, they're all transitioning to only using contractors, but they're W-2s.
Yeah, but a lot of them are RPO, which is just that's a worse scourge than LinkedIn, I think, long term for a lot of us. It really devalues a lot of the work.
Well, not really.
It's just
poor. That's how I was. That's where I was with Deloitte, a contractor, but W-2'd, and. I think I got paid really, really well and was treated just like everybody else. And
so you're an employee just without benefits and vacation.
Yeah, you should too. Then I think you have a good argument.
See, I don't. Yeah, see, companies they really don't. They're not supposed to be doing that. I mean, they're supposed to be an agent. You'd think Deloitte would know that.
Well, you know. I'm getting disability from the state. I mean, I'm getting everything that a W-2 employee would get, except you're right, the vacation sucked, you know, but California passed a law where they do have to give us vacation and some sick leave.
I have something to say about California. Not the nice people that I know there, but just how it's run. What a bunch of shit.
I agree. 100%.
The place is a disgusting climate for business. I hired one employee that was in there from 2013 to the beginning of 2015. I will never do business in the state of California.
I don't blame you.
To save my life, I would not. Never.
I never did it either.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
That's a tough one.
All of a sudden I'm all pissed off, and I was getting ready for a nap, and I'm thinking about California, and now I want to call somebody out there and just raise some hell.
Well, you should do that.
No.
We need
seventh
change out here.
Economy in the world, you know.
It is.
All right, everybody. Well, you can keep on yapping, but I got to go.
Thanks for doing the app.
See you, everybody.
Sorry.
All
right,
bye. Nice conversation.
All right.
See y'all. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Love y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's Casey.
Bye.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea. It lingered there to touch your hair and walk with me. All summer long we sang a song, and then we strolled that golden sand. Hearts and the summer wind, like painted kites, those days and nights they went flying by. The world was new beneath the blue umbrella sky. summer wind.